translation with a purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Not only Shishupal and Dantavakra, but also many, many other kings who acted as enemies of Krishna obtained salvation at the time of death because they told of the Lord. They received the spiritual bodies and forms the same as His, just as worms captured by black drone obtained the same type of body as the drone. Please repeat after me. Not only Shishupal and Dandavakra, but also many, many other kings who acted as enemies of Krishna obtained salvation at the time of death because they told of the Lord. They received the spiritual bodies and forms the same as His. Just as worms captured by black drone obtained the same type of body as the drone. Purport. The mystery of yogic meditation is explained here. Real yogis always meditate on the form of Vishnu within their hearts. Consequently, at the time of death, they give up their bodies while thinking of the form of Vishnu and thus obtain Vishnuloka, Vaikuntaloka, where they receive bodily features the same as those of the Lord. From the sixth canto, we have already learned that when the Vishnudutas come from Vaikuntha to deliver Ajamil, they looked exactly like Vishnu, with four hands and the same features as Vishnu. Therefore, we may conclude that if one practices thinking of Vishnu and is fully absorbed in thinking of Him at the time of death, one returns home back to Godhead. Even enemies of Krishna who thought of Krishna in fear, Baya, such as King Kamsa, received bodies in a spiritual identity similar to that of the Lord. Not only Shishupal and Dandavakra, but also many, many other kings who acted as enemies of Krishna obtained salvation at the time of death. Because they thought of the Lord, they received the spiritual bodies and forms the same as His, just as worms captured by a black drone obtain the same type of body as the drone. So, from this verse and the purport, we can understand that Krishna is not envious and is not. It doesn't hold any grudge towards His eternal children. Krishna, it appears here that He's rewarding the failure. When someone is killed in this world, the person who is killing is usually full of hate and is not wishing well the person that is killing. Otherwise he wouldn't be killing that person in the first place. And obviously he doesn't wish that person he has a good future, even if he believes that the soul carries on living. It is a very it's an act of spite, killing someone. It's very rude to kill someone. But the difference here is that Krishna, by doing supposedly the same activity of killing, but He rewards the enemy with his own form. He gives them his own form and position and opulence and abode. It's wonderful that Krishna is actually displaying an act of love. So, killing from the Lord, it's a privilege. It's a wonderful thing. Believe it or not, I wish I would be killed by Krishna. I wouldn't mind that myself. Seeing myself as sinful, disobedient, and stubborn probably would be the only way I could get purified. So the mercy of Krishna is displayed not just when he gives a wonderful gift to someone, but also when he's angry, when he's rude. It's all on equal platform. Of course, in this instance here, he's actually dealing with his own pure devotees, his own children. They are not really his enemies. There is a wonderful, obedient devotees from Vishnu Loka. They are not to be judged by us, not to be criticized. Hiranyakashipu, that's why Prahlad Maharaj, he has a very profound understanding that his father actually is not a demon. Otherwise he wouldn't be praying for him. Prahlad Maharaj, a pure devotee, understand that anyone who is chosen by Krishna to perform a particular pastime, either as a friend or as a servant or as a parental relationship or as an enemy, they're all serving Krishna in their capacity to bring pleasure to Krishna. The answer was, yesterday the question was raised, how can we use the envy in the service of Krishna? The Maharaj was saying that Srila Prabhupada, he said, we could use anything in the service of Krishna except envy. But I humbly disagree on that. I just woke up this morning and I had this understanding that Shishupal here, that is described in the verse, he used that envy in the service of Krishna. He was, of course, Krishna wanted him to be an enemy, a formidable enemy. Krishna wanted him to be envious. And he did it. And he took up, just like when we take up the dress of a particular post that we occupy. So similarly, a Vishnuduta, a giant Vijay, they took up this suit of an enemy of the Lord, a dress. It was just a dress. They were playing actors, but not just the dress, but also the mood. They let me have my Asurik Baba on such a higher degree that I want to make the Lord angry. And they succeeded, because who else better than a devotee of the Lord can actually disturb the Lord or please the Lord the way he wants? Krishna wanted to be disturbed by them. He wanted to fight. Without being disturbed, how can you instigate a fight? Krishna wanted to fight. So when he asked his pure devotee, make me angry so that we can have a good fight and I can kill you. And in order for him to make the Lord angry, he had to display this envy. So he used the envy in the service of Krishna. Of course, that does not mean, we should not misunderstand now, that we can actually shadow the behavior of Shishupal. It's not think wrong to use the envy in the service of Krishna, so I'll do the same thing. No, that's wrong. We have to be authorized by Krishna. If we are authorized by Krishna to play the part of a demon, then yes. Then just like the gopis in Vrindavan, some of the gopis, they display this envy towards other gopis. Just to announce the attachment, the excitement in Krishna, that is used also. But for us, it is correct. So relatively what Maharaj said, in one sense, the Prabhupada meant for us, for a conditioned soul, to imitate those demons, it's not proper. Let me use the envy, or let me use these in Krishna's service. It's not proper because we are not authorized to do that. And plus, these demons, they're playing the part of envious person. Just like Srila Prabhupada very often he quotes the analogy of the mother-in-law. When she wants a pass, I'm sure you heard this many, many times, but I repeat it again for myself. When a mother-in-law wants instruct or correct the daughter-in-law, then what she does? She chastises her own daughter. Isn't it? Isn't it in the Vedic culture, Indians, they do that. Why? Because the daughter-in-law, it's not very close in confidentiality with the mother-in-law, the way the daughter is. The daughter is very close. So the daughter, she can take the chastisement without leaving the home and being trippy, or being retaliating with a false ego. When you knock very close to someone, then the person that you offend, you know, will take offense. If you are too direct to that person, like me, I'm a very sensitive person. It's true. Shyamasundara very often he said, you know, it's something that I was born with. I've always been very, very sensitive. It's my anartha and brings me a lot of suffering. If I'm not close to someone, and the person, you know, treat me roughly, then, you know, I shy off from that person and I wouldn't have anything to do. But if he's from a friend also, I become very surprised. And so it's like that, you know, the Krishna, he could use, he's a pure devotee, Jain Vijay, because they could take it. He chastised Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He called him a fool. He called him so many names. Because Arjuna could take it. Did Arjuna really need to be corrected? No. It was the discussion, the chastisement was meant for us, for all the readers of the Bhagavad Gita. So, Hiranyakashipu, Shishupal, Dantavakra, Kumbhakarna, all these, they were authorized by the Lord to display this Asuric Bhava. And they succeeded. And Krishna was very pleased. So, therefore, let Krishna judge this situation, not us. I'm sure a neophyte person, a neophyte devotee, he won't glorify Hiranyakashipu or Dantavakra. If they come here and they enter in the temple room, we will look at them with despite because they are enemies of the Lord. But if someone has, like Prahlad Maharaj, someone has really profound understanding who they actually are. Are they eternally demons? No, they're not. That's why Prabhupada He actually never criticized those demons. Prabhupada said we should do what, you know, when the acharya they speak, we should do what they say, but don't do what they do. We should never imitate them. And we should not condemn them. Because they're playing the role. So, and in the purport, he's saying how important, he's teaching us the lesson, how important is to leave the body when we die. How, with what mood. It's not important just where and when, but how we leave the body. And here says, those demons, they left the body by thinking of Krishna. Either we hate, we love, the result will be the same. Kamsa was in fear, thinking always of Krishna. I was killed by Krishna, but he achieved the liberation. Even though it was very unfavorable. But Rupa Goswami, of course, he suggests, advice that if it's better to have a favorable bhava, favorable mood towards Krishna, of a service, loving mood rather than hate, because that pleases Krishna more, especially from someone who is from a conditioned background. So it's so important that we think of Krishna at the time of death. There is a verse that Krishna instructed Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Sukla Krishne gatihiyate jakate sashvate mate ekaya yatyanavrittim anevartate punaha. Sukla Krishne gatihiyate. There are two ways that the soul leaves the body in this material world. One is in darkness and one is in light. If someone leaves this world in darkness, then he has to return. And if someone leaves the world in light, for that person there is no return. And what is light? Krishna is light. And darkness is when we think of everything else except Krishna. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what, in one sense, what mood we have towards, even if we are very angry. There are times in our spiritual life that we do feel angry towards God for things happening to us because we are not able to understand why we are suffering, why it's happening to me. I'm a good person. I was trained up in a good family. I had a religious background, but so many bad things are happening to me, even now as a devotee. Why these things are happening to us? You can get defamed. You'll be judged, very often, not just by enemies, but by your own friends. Why these things are happening? We don't understand. But it's karma. Something that comes to us is not by chance. It's meant to purify the devotee, ultimately. Suffering brings realizations. I very often quote, realizations only grow in the field of suffering, not in the field of enjoyment. So if we don't suffer, we don't advance. Advancement is not by gratifying our senses. If we feel discomfort, if we are criticized, if we are offended, okay, it's easy for me to say these things, but being sensitive, you know, very hardly I take these things, but they do come. There is a reason why these things are coming to us. There's always a reason. Krishna means Krishna wants us to understand a point. There's so many points in our lives. But he wants you to understand his point. The point. We may be very expert in so many things, in our service, in management, or in relationship with devotees, in expert in showing kindness, shelter to people, intelligent, expert in leadership, preaching, so many good criterias that a devotees they have, but there are area that we have to reinforce, and those are the points that Krishna wants us to understand. The weak area that we have, and it comes usually by paying the price of suffering, the price of being judged, criticized. Nobody is a victim in this world. Very often, I think myself, okay, I'm victimized by this situation, but maybe there are people they're victimized by me. And even if I'm not aware of in this life, only Krishna knows what I've done in my previous lives. God knows how many people I made suffering. So therefore, the memory that we have in this life is just a little piece of a string that is attached to a long piece of string. How long is a piece of string? How long, you know, we've been in this material world? There is no cap to it. Nitya Bhadda Anayoprabhu. We've been eternally, almost eternally. And God knows. He is the only one who knows all our previous deeds. We forget. But He knows all the things that we have done. So therefore, it is good actually to reflect in retrospect, why am I suffering? Because there's always some understanding afterwards, some light. We have to just tolerate it. The main thing is to carry on our service. Because we tend to embrace all the glorification, all the good things coming to us. Some wealth is coming to us. A good wife is coming to us. Some assets, some position. Like Narada Muni says, every one of us born in this world, he carries the package on his shoulder called karma. And in that package, there is a certain amount of happiness, a certain amount of money that you're meant to have, a certain amount of knowledge, a certain amount of suffering, a particular wife, and particular children. So everything is predestined. But the main thing is that when we understand that the good fortune that we have is this devotional service, somehow or another we are linked with Krishna by service. So all the bad things and the good things happening to us, that it's irrelative, it's irrelevant. Ultimately, of course it will affect us. We're all affected. That's why even a devotee's they lament. I lament myself when things they go wrong. It's the tendency of human nature. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. It means I am still under the duality of life, sankalpa, vikalpa, on the mental platform. My mind accepts the good things and rejects all the bad things. Someone is glorifying me, I smile. Someone is criticizing me, I am very sad. So that's sankalpa and vikalpa. And believe it or not, that tendency is in everybody. That's why Krishna says we have to learn, step up. Humble sage is not disturbed by sorrow and happiness. Now we have heard these things many times. We read in the Bhagavad Gita many, many times. But have we really understood it? Are we aloof from being affected from these things? I see in myself, I see around me, people, they go for help because they can't tolerate. When things they go wrong, they just can't tolerate. It's very difficult. So understanding is one thing. realizing it, it's something else. And that's what we need. We need to pray internally to Krishna, please give me a strength to not just understand, but also to make me strong in my weakness as to why am I suffering. That was the very first question of Sanatana Goswami when he approached Lord Chaitanya. Why am I suffering? Who am I? So there's no harm. We shouldn't feel embarrassed to say, I have a problem. We go to the Guru. We came to this movement because we have problems. Nobody, you know, came here with a pure background, well, maybe some of you, with a pure background. If someone comes to me, if someone comes to me and says, I have no problems, then that person is trying to sell me something. I don't believe it. The body that we have already is a problem. It's just like you go into prison and you see someone with a prison uniform. Just by seeing someone with prison uniform, it's to be understood that person has done something wrong, has a problem. So the prison uniform is our body, material body. And Durga is the prison house. So each one of us who is here, it means we have done something naughty, something wrong, beside the fact that we have defied the authority of Krishna, that we have rebelled against Him, and so many things, so many other things we have been doing. But Krishna is the all-purifying. He makes us understand why we are suffering. And when the times are hard and we feel this tendency to retaliate, seek vengeance. I mean, very often I feel myself like that. Then there is a way. There is a way how to feel, how to check ourselves. I mean, this is my own personal tip, and I like to share it with you. Before I try to judge someone, I try to think and meditate upon my sinful activities. I try to remember what I've done wrong. Have I ever criticized anybody? Have I ever fell down? Have I ever done this? So if you meditate just for a few seconds on the bad things that you have done, then you will see immediately the propensity to criticize a devotee, it will disappear. Because you feel embarrassed. You know, I have done that, so why am I trying to judge that person? What did Jesus say? You know, if someone doesn't have, cast the first stone if you are free from sin. And nobody threw the stone to the prostitute. Because everybody committed sin. We try to see the spark in the eye of someone, you know, when we have a trunk in our eyes. So, charity begins at home. Let us look in our heart and recognize and see all the bad things that we have done. That's where humility comes. Humility comes when we remember all the bad things that we have done. Usually a proud person, he only remembers the good things that he's done. Right? Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I give so much in charity, I've done this, I've done that. That person is my enemy and he will die. So this is a proud, arrogant, proud person. He meditates on all the good things that he's done and he forgets about all the bad things. Whereas the devotee is the other way around. He forgets all the good things that he's done and he meditates on all the bad things that he's done. That is the, I don't know, maybe I sound a little bit negative, but it helps. I'm not suggesting that we should feel sorry all the time and meditate on our sins. No, it's just when we need to, when we are trying to judge somebody, try to attack someone, then we should, in retrospect, try to understand. First of all, you know, if we are clean from that propensity ourselves, And you'll see that then it's a very good mood to have. Then Krishna will help us. He likes that mood very much. That's why humble devotee, he sees himself lower than anybody else, and he sees everyone else higher than him. I remember the first time I was going to Vrindavan, I never forget. My first visit, before I entered Vrindavan, I asked my Guru Maharaj this question, with what mood, you know, sometimes the disciple, he wants to impress the Guru with a philosophical question. And then you expect, you know, some esoteric answer, and, you know, it was like that. I said it to him, in what mood, I remember it was a very long question, what mood one should enter in the Dham, I should enter into the Holy Dham. And then I was expecting very long answer, but actually it was very short. He said, see yourself lower than everyone else, and see everyone else higher than you, more than you. And I thought it was a very good answer. This is the mood of living in the Dham, in a temple. What is the Dham? Dham means the association of devotees, devotional service. Even when we go out and preach, we're creating a Dham. When we come and associate on each other, that Krishna becomes manifest, that's a Dham. But the key is that we should see ourselves always as the servant and lower than the other people, than people surrounding us. Again, in a very difficult thing to do, to see a junior higher than you, or to see someone who is not behaving themselves very properly, usually we tend to judge that person. It's very difficult to see him as a superior, an ideal superior. If you are handled roughly by somebody, then, you know, quickly your mind is judging that person. He cannot be a leader. He cannot be. But, you know, these are all tests. If we understand deeply that nothing happened by chance. Every lesson, everything happening to us which created discomfort and suffering is meant to make us more humble. And means there is a lesson to learn, but very often we put the hands on our eyes and we don't want to see what is the point. We don't want to know. We expect Krishna to present it to us, you know, in a golden plate. But he wants us to learn it through pratyaksha, by experiment, by suffering. Pratyaksha, it's a kind of, Krishna is coming to us in the form of suffering. It's not a bad thing. Suffering is actually, gives a spiritual advancement. It's not that pushes. Very often I had this misconception that I'm suffering now and that means I'm going down spiritually. That's wrong. Many devotees, they've left the movement because of that. I'm suffering, that means, you know, I'm going down. But actually that's when you are going up. That's when we are going up. And then when things are very well, we have a nice position, we have a glorification, we are elogized by everybody. Oh, I'm advancing. Then we think that we are advancing. But actually that's a trick. That's when we are going, as soon as we think like that, we're going down. It's just a matter of time when we fall down. So suffering is a good thing. All the great personality they've suffered. Krishna suffered defamation. The Jamantaka jewel. Samantaka jewel, you know the story. The Pandavas, did they enjoy in their lives? Let's analyze just for a few seconds the life of the Pandavas. They were harassed all the time, criticized all the time. Everything was taken away from them. Kunti was a single mother with all these children, and she was sent to the forest. They were deprived of everything. Now, an arrest, and the house was burned down. The Kauravas, they were trying to kill them, to poison them. Bhima was poisoned. Now, we, Prahlad Maharaj, you can see the old story of Prahlad Maharaj. It was enjoyment in his childhood. He went through so much tribulations. Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus, you can see all the life of all the saints. They all went through fire. That's what makes someone, when the iron rod is in the fire, Krishna can mold us into a very powerful weapon. That's the fire of stress, purification. That's the gift of Krishna. That's what gives spiritual advancement. But we don't see like that. We join the Hare Krishna movement and we think, you know, everything should be like a fairy tale with a nice beginning, smooth path, and very nice end. But very often we don't see that it's like that. Srila Prabhupada was criticized by his own god brothers. He was hurt by a cow trying to distribute the BTGs in Delhi. He went through so much poverty, he had no money. But the success laid in his austerity, in his voluntary suffering, voluntary austerity, that's where the power comes. As I said before, this is just perhaps theoretically I'm saying all these things. It's not from my own realization. But hopefully one of you or many of you will realize this truth and it will benefit you so much to get out of this world once and for all, and then there will be no more grief. These intelligent demons, Shishupal, they were none other than Jayan Vijay. Okay, I don't want to take a birth as a six lives as a devotee. It's too long to be separated from the Lord. So therefore I will choose. I'll give two things they did right, intelligent. I'll fulfill the desire of the Lord because he wants me to fight. He wants me to be a demon. And I'll do that. And the second thing, you know, it's only three lifetimes, you know, and I'll go back home and that's it. It's finished. And then we can reconciliate our pastimes with Krishna and everything. It's back like before. So very often we don't like to be demons. We are attached to a good reputation. Speaking to myself, you know, I've always been a good person. Somebody's throwing some mud on me or defame me or something. That's not me. That's our first reaction. I don't want to be seen, you know, as a demon, as a someone who breaks the religious principles. I don't want to be seen like that. But sometimes if we are too attached to a so-called good reputation, Krishna wants to snatch it away. He wants us to become like a Draupadi. Just put your hands up and let people, you know, pull off your sari. But don't worry. People, they will never see you naked. That's what he told the Draupadi. So we think that sometimes, you know, that by some criticism or things like that, we are exposed for being, you know, bad devotees. But let it be like that. There's always some good coming back. And Draupadi, you could see, you know, Krishna said to Arjuna, my devotee will never perish. And Draupadi, she was never been seen naked. She didn't have anything to worry. There was plenty of sari there. So no matter how much we suffer and we go through things in life, there's always some saris given to us by Krishna to protect us and to make us understand why things are the way they are. Thank you very much. It's 8:30 and we stop here. And the best thing is that I was going to conclude that to protect ourselves is devotional service. Amongst all the activities of devotional service is preaching. Book distribution is the crown jewel of all the preaching activities. The Christmas marathon is coming. Rupa Goswami says, no matter what's happening to us, the only disqualification for not performing devotional service, what is it? Does anybody of you know? To not do devotional service. Who told you that? From Gauri Prabhu. Well, we found it, a statement from, it's actually from the teachings of Rupa Goswami. It's very encouraging. You can be very offensive or very sinful, but doesn't matter. Krishna never rejects our service. So service is actually what protects us. The only disqualification is to not do it. That's actually higher sin than when we make offenses or when we are sinful. Because devotional service is the only hope, the only thing that makes us realize who we are, what is the purpose of life, and where to go when we die. Thank you very much. Maybe we can leave in 1 or 2 minutes if there's any questions or comments.